Let's face it, parenting is the most important job on earth. Every day presents a stack of different challenges, and more often than not, the answer is outside of the box. On this podcast, we will offer proven strategies, interview pioneers in education, give insights into how to be successful parents, and even share our imperfect experiences of being parents ourselves. We're all in on this journey, and we will span the globe to find out what is working and who has the answers. This is the Sound Foundations for Parenting podcast. Here are your hosts, Darren McCarthy and Brian Powers.
Hello, Darren.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. I learned a lot this last episode. Holy smokes.
Same. Dr. Julissa Hernandez. Tell me how what kind of doctor she is. I just forgot. We talked about this beforehand, and you're like...
It's that extra syllable in there. It's naturopath.
Naturopathic doctor. She's a naturopath. MD, but specializing in being a naturopathic doctor.
It's not far from us in New York City, and she assured us that she's doing okay, and New York is on its way to better. Yes. So that's a good thing, and it sounds to me like they're on their way to better because they have people like her. When we were looking out for someone along the lines of nutrition and better health, and ended up on, actually through a Facebook, Rise Up World. We were connected. Right. We were connected through to Dr. Julissa.
Doing all your networking out there.
Yeah, and you know it's amazing how you meet people that are doing things that are clearly outside the box, but have a pretty strong following, and you know their passion is behind it, and you can hear her passion as she's talking about teaching people how to take on their stuff.
Yeah.
And what I like about her approach is that it's prescriptive in the sense that there is something you can do, but she's really that intake process where you're trying to figure out, okay, what's your story? And correct. You can tell she was a good listener. You know, it's actually, you realize how infrequently you come across a good listener because there's that pause.
Correct.
You know, it's just like we were just having a nice conversation and you know, to fill in the pause when someone's listening intently. And she took me down a path on my own that I wasn't quite prepared to go down.
I just listen because I'm on the same path, but we're both Nexium takers. But yeah, she just, you know, like you said, she's diagnostic more in her approach, not so much, you know, normally with experts like this, we like to say, hey, give us, you know, a few tips for our listeners, but, you know, it would be more, you know, we're back to that one size fits one here and, you know, the uniqueness of each person.
Well, you realize, I think a lot of parents are looking for products. Yep. Because the product is basically plug and play.
Yeah.
But without a service, you end up with the wrong product. And, you know, when parents think about like spending money versus spending time. And if you go down the wrong path, you end up spending too much money and too much time and not getting anything accomplished. So you should be spending more time and effort on the assessment process, figuring out what is really the root cause of what I'm trying to address. And that's exactly the approach. She mentioned that she's doing an event on August 7th.
Yeah,
you know, and that'll be in the show notes. But I know, you know, I talked to my wife after we were done, and we're planning on attending for sure, because yeah. I was just kind of she was just touching on some ideas, which is all you can do in really in one podcast. But she's going to have a dive. She's going to dive deeper, and she's going to do some FAQs and really get into it on this. I believe it was August 7th, but it'll be in the show notes. No, right?
Definitely, you got the date right, and we'll be promoting that for her, and you know we'll get the links out to everybody. Yeah, so let's get into it. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody, please, wherever you're listening, podcast channel wise, please subscribe so you get those updates when we let new episodes come out, and then also give us some feedback, leave us a review. Let us know what you think, what you want to see, what you don't like. We'd really love to hear from you and get your feedback. And then after that, one last bit of business. We've got a sponsor for today's episode, Radish Kids. Really cool subscription plan that you can put into, and they'll send you on a monthly basis, almost like a kit to make different recipes with your kid. They give you a tool, where those recipes came from, kind of like a background on the country. A lot of learning packed into one little kit. Really cool subscription, pretty affordable. Check it out on our website. We've got a code on there for you to use.
Yeah, we just finished our Japan run. And nice. We got our little sushi roll maker, and yeah, we were having fun. We're having fun with it. I mean, my daughter gets super excited when it comes in the mail, and then we typically head off to the grocery store because we don't have half the ingredients.
Yep.
And then away we go. Radish Kids, fantastic.
Give you everything you need. So definitely check out that sponsor on our website, and away we go into our episode with Dr. Julissa Hernandez.
Here we go. Okay.
Go ahead, all right. Brad.
Ready? Welcome, Dr. Julissa Hernandez. I think I did that well, just like you had instructed me to. Welcome. And doctor, please give us a little bit of your background and tell us a little bit more about what you do.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Brian and Darren. I would say that empowering people to experience an epic health journey is what I absolutely love to do. That is, and I've loved doing that for the past 25 years. Use a time machine type of method to really get to the root cause of people's suffering, whether it's emotional, mental, spiritual, or physical, via natural medicine and holistic medicine. Ancient medicine and herbal medicine, and so helping them achieve that epic health that they deserve.
That's great. How did you come to this, like, of all places to go?
Wonderful. Another wonderful question. So my mother, my background is Dominican, and my mother's father is Italian descent, so I'm Dominican and we're Italian. And so here, my parents came here to start a family. So I'm first generation born here, but even then, growing up in New York City, money to be able to get medicine and things of that sort wasn't something that accessible. So herbs were very much used, you know, grabbing some herbs, making a tea, drink that and you're better. So I saw that in my home. And as I was in high school, my mom started helping people with actual natural medicine. And a woman came in one day. And she was so appreciative that my mom got rid of her hot flashes. I said, I want to make people that happy. But I tell you, that just made me, I want to make people feel that good and feel that happy. I mean, she was almost bowing down to my mother. And so that just sparked an interest. So being the geek that I am, the Encyclopedia Britannica was the thing back then. Course, that was my gift, and so I read it from cover to cover, learned everything about herbs, started studying natural medicine in high school. NYU decided I don't want to do accounting, continued doing natural medicine studies with my mother because my mother didn't want to go back to school alone, and so we graduated together, did everything together, and this year I celebrate 25 years of practice doing what I love.
Wow. Yeah. You know, it's interesting when you talk about kind of that, the approach that you're taking. When I went to Germany for the first time, I had a cold and I walked into a pharmacy looking like we would in America for something to work. And there was somebody standing right at the counter and said, may I help you? And what are your symptoms? And you know, how you feeling, describe everything. And then walked me literally around the pharmacy and said, well, this will work and this will work. And well, tell me a little bit more about what you have going on. It was a very concierge approach to what I was feeling. And it was all tailored to my specific needs, which I thought was, I mean, it blew my mind, first of all, coming out of, you know, the way we do things here, where it's kind of like you go around the pharmacy and try to figure it out on your own. So it sounds like you're doing something similar. Am I wrong?
You are absolutely correct. Two people with sore throats are going to need entirely different types of approaches and therapies. Mm-hmm. What we learned, for example, in Chinese medicine is that the liver, believe it or not, is very much involved in the health of the throat. But then if we're looking at someone that's holding on to a lot of verbal anger, where they choke themselves and don't verbalize, they're the ones that stay very quiet and just kind of keep the words to themselves and don't defend themselves when they should and such, that could be something that's triggering challenges of the thyroid, parathyroid, causing that challenge there of that sore throat. So two entirely different people with the same symptom need entirely different approaches. So absolutely, that's the way that we should be dealing with it.
We had a recent guest on, the episode isn't out yet, but he made a statement that one size fits one. And, you know, when we were talking about students and education, and it's the same here.
Agreed.
Yeah, one size fits one.
Yeah, I love that. Who would have thought? I mean, you know, that's the way you should. Wouldn't you love it if everybody could be treated that way? You know, through medicine, through education and learning, it would probably change things.
Well, it's like we try to take a developmental approach. So, you know, you put on your linear thinking, and you're like, okay, if I'm a parent and there's a book, what's on the first page? And it was interesting because I was always thinking, okay, you know what? It's got to be sleep. Sleep's really important. So we had the sleep guru on, and she talked about sleep. And wouldn't you know, in her second sentence, she totally blew my mind because she said, sleep is correlated to nutrition. And I was like, dang, first chapter, first page is now nutrition.
or what Chinese medicine teaches us, which is over 5,000 years old, the heart. Anyone that has sleep problems, we need to focus on the heart too.
Aha. See, now I got a new first page.
Yes. Whenever I'm treating insomnia or anything like that, I focus on that muscle directly, and insomnia disappears.
Really? So can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because I think a lot of us are having trouble sleeping right now for one reason or another, you know, because there's a few things going on. Can we take that to a little bit deeper?
Sure. So the fire element, and I don't want to confuse you just too much, but it's exactly just that. We know that sleep is directly correlated to the heart because the heart is the one that feeds the brain, and the brain is the one that needs to be relaxed so that the body can then follow suit and come to restful sleep. And so it's just the look that everything in the body is interconnected. When we view the body and we look at it through the eyes of ancient medicine, you have to look at the body like an umbrella, okay, where everything is interconnected. So it shouldn't be, you know, I feel sad when I hear that a patient comes to me where they are diagnosed with sleep apnea, because just about pretty much everybody's diagnosed with the same thing. And then they're given these very unsexy masks to wear to bed and things of that. So, I mean, you know, I get a little blunt with my explanation because health is too important to beat around the bush. So, you know, they're giving these masks and such, and let me just strengthen that fire energy. Let me balance that out. Is it too much yang going on? Is there way too much stress and overloading in that person's life? Or are they deficient, which is exactly what, yes, your friend, the person that was on that mentioned, for example, the sleep guru, right, about nutrition. If the symptoms are yin symptoms of the heart, then they're deficient. They're malnourished. They need to be fortified and strengthened. While if there's overloading and stress, those are yang symptoms of the heart. And so I need to focus on the sleep problems in that person in that way and correct that deficiency.
So, I mean, how do you know? Do you do a lot of questions, a lot of questionnaires, what's that intake look like for you? Because you've got so many different avenues you can go and so many choices, right?
Well, the first thing is always to allow the patient to tell you their story, which is what a lot of people don't get to do. Many times they're rushed out of my colleagues, many allopathic doctors, sometimes they'll be rushed out, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, you're done. I allow them to elaborate on the story. But then my examination actually involves a holistic iridology examination. And it's a full 3 to 5 page report where I see deficiencies in the body and see where there are imbalances and such in all the body systems.
Is there a hierarchical approach? Like, you know, is there kind of one place that you start and then kind of build from there, or does it depend on?
I start with their story. I really start with their story. And in my book, I even elaborate specifically on how emotions affect the body physically. And I very much have to focus on that. What we know with ancient medicine is that 95% of the diseases and illnesses that we have issues with are very much rooted in an emotion. So I mentioned a moment ago how anger would be that issue involving there, the thyroid, parathyroid, where it's verbal anger. Meanwhile, if it's a liver challenge, it's deep-seated rage. If I'm dealing with a parent that has a child that in her teenage or his teenage years is dealing with high blood pressure, I've seen it many times, I'm sure you guys have too, then I know that I have to work with the kidneys, which are most likely being imbalanced by unresolved forgiveness and fear. So it's a lot where I have to listen to what's going on. If, for example, that same child dealing with high blood pressure in their teenage years, I then ask, is one of your legs bothering you? Is there any issue of, let's say, the knees and so on? Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it's my right knee. Okay, well, now I know, right side of the body. There's a reason why certain things happen on certain sides of the body. And then I know that I can pinpoint and say, who is or who are the male figures that you cannot forgive? What is your stress with regards to financial matters or business relationships or educational matters, career matters, school stuff, male figures, dad, male friends? What's going on? And they get shocked because you're able to really pinpoint. There's a reason why certain things happen in certain areas of the body. There's a reason why certain things happen on certain sides of the body as well. And it's a beautiful thing when I can really target it in that precise way, because then I can go to the root again, cause, leave your body to me. That's my job, to know what I need to feed this body so that it can balance, but I need your help with the emotional. And then I have to start digging all that out.
When was the last time you sat in a doctor's office, general practitioner, or even pediatrician, and they were like, well, let's talk about your emotional, you know, psychotherapy, mental health, and your physical health together? It doesn't happen anymore.
That's why it's a blessing that I'm able to help my patients really achieve and overcome, you know, their suffering. It's the whole point.
So I want to take it back a little bit more global, like a 30,000 foot view of this, right? So if you're a parent and you want to work on yourself, right? What's the difference between a nutritionist and an Nate, what you do? I can't even pronounce the word.
I want you to say it for us, because just like your first name, I need you to pronounce.
Yeah, I think it's
okay, wonderful. So a nutritionist, from what I understand, focuses on food and how foods you kind of should be eating, I would assume. And I don't want to belittle the extensive certifications and such that a person that has that title has. I'm a board certified naturopathic doctor. I'm an MD, right? I'm an MD. So board certified for, and now practicing for 25 years in helping people and children achieve healing.
Now, it also says you're holistic. I'm going to butcher that word, so I'll let you say it.
Iridologist, which is what I mentioned a moment ago, the type of examination that I use to find deficiencies in the body of my patients.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's fascinating because, I mean, I have this background in sound and auditory intervention, and we look at sound frequencies in a similar way that you're talking. You know, so there's certain frequencies that are correlated to the gut area. And, you know, and kind of like as you're talking, I'm translating everything to kind of my world. But I think it's important for parents to kind of think about this as well, in a sense that the world we create is the environment that our children are looking at, you know, and what we're doing with our bodies and what we're doing as intake and how we handle stress is everything that our child emulates, correct?
Agreed, absolutely. What parents need to always remember is that we are our children's gods, really. We are the first high level of just awe that they come across. And if you said it so, then it must be so. Oh, mommy said that I never sit still. Then I'm going to continue to move around and not sit still, because if my mom said it, it must be right. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's the challenge. I have to have these conversations with my patients many times. You sometimes find that the issue is that when the parent is suffering because the child is suffering, sometimes that child feels such a close connection with the parent that maybe getting better is not a good thing because maybe they'll also get less attention. So it's a very sensitive balance. I can tell you that I've used that sort of conversation where I've had to explain that, for example, parents dealing with, let's say, diabetic children, right? Where we know holistic medicine teaches us that grief is the emotion that turns on the pancreas. So if I'm dealing with a child that is diabetic, then I know they're grieving. Where is it? When did they start feeling that something or someone was missing from their life, that they're not being understood, that no one understands it, that there's nothing they can do? What happened in the home? What happened in their realm? I do have to always go to the parent to find out what was going on there. If the child was born diabetic, what grief was the mother and father, or both, dealing with before that child fell also into the womb, which is very, very something that they don't take into account, that all of that is transmitted, yes, in that sperm and in that egg before they come and unite. So going back in time to really find out the root cause of these challenges, what turns these issues on like a light switch, is where I am able to really help them overcome their suffering.
So we kind of talked a little bit about, you know, before we hit record, you know, how parents need to prepare themselves before they can kind of pass down and try to teach their children. You know, so Darren and I, you know, we're ranging from 4 to 11 in ages here in our houses, you know, and there's a lot of stress. I mean, the schedules are crazy. Like, how do you, you know, when a parent comes to you with that kind of, you know, not issue, but setting, you know, what are some things you tell them, you know, kind of get themselves ready, then to say, let's focus on your child?
I feel it's important that the kids are actually told, listen, right now, mommy and daddy need some time. They need some mommy daddy time right now. So we're going to ask you guys to please go to bed early, whatever has to be done, but they need to understand that the parents need that as well. You know, I love also the approach of, for example, Esther Perel. I don't know if you've ever heard of her, Esther Perel. She's a couples therapist. She wrote two amazing books, Mating in Captivity and another called The State of Affairs. But in Mating in Captivity, I love the fact that she also addresses, for example, how the child has, for example, the latest sneakers, the latest clothing, and mom's walking around in a torn up shirt and, you know, beat up Crocs, and hair's undone, the nails aren't done. And so, but the child has the ultimate top of the line clothing, sneakers, and all everything on it. We can't do that. We need to take care of ourselves, because they're going to see, apart from the fact that the child's wearing all that now, they will start to imitate mom and dad later on. And that is not going to make a happy child, mom and dad, miserable. So it's the same thing that they teach us in the plane. It's so simple. Put your mask on first before you put it on the child. You must take care of you first, because if you're not, the child's not going to be happy if mom and dad are unhappy. And I must say that if there is a feminine entity in the home, although I've worked with a lot of single dads, but if there is that central feminine entity, that is really the radiating energy of the home. And if you gentlemen have a partner in your life, then you guys know that when she's happy, everybody's happy.
You're 100% right. And I think Darren can attest as well. And my father used to say that all the time. You know, right. Mom needs to be happy if everybody else wants to be happy. And it's the truth. Whether they want to admit it or not, you're 100% right. They have that radiating being that keeps things, the world revolving.
Yes, but it's important that the kids understand that they really get it. No, okay, you guys had playtime for 3 hours from 7 to 10. That's it. It's mommy and daddy time now. That's it. Don't you guys come knocking on our bedroom door. it's just you have to be direct with kids.
But you, I mean, you bring up a really good point, because, you know, if we look at divorce, I've learned recently, is some degree of trauma. Right. And so I think we have a tendency to look at trauma and say, okay, trauma is only if I've been in a fire and I was dragged out and I was in the, emergency room. Like there's mm-hmm. it's almost like there's a spectrum of trauma. And then we always think about the extreme, but there's like divorce can be a traumatic experience. And so we look at the family construct in, at least in America, where, half the families are dealing with divorce. And then, we take it to another level where we've got a lot of just so many different dynamics affecting us. And I think the body encapsulates all of that, and I in working with families closer and closer now, I'm kind of back in working with clients again. I'm seeing that more and more where it's kind of like, this is not really, I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to, keep my head, I'm barely breathing as a parent, so to speak. And as long as the kids are seeming like they're okay, they must be okay. And I think what I'm trying to say is ultimately we're kind of losing that balance, and the kids are seeing this whole thing and we're getting, kind of bigger and bigger as, physically. And I think, was it Ianla uses the word padding, where you've had a traumatic experience and you're just gained weight to kind of keep other people away from you, And I think that's just kind of like one thing that's happening. There's so much going on. My point is, what do we do about it? Where do we start? And how do we get people that would never think of talking to someone like you to start having that open-minded conversation and say, going to the route of not, the naturopathic route is a route that will actually help me. Mm-hmm.
There's
a question there in there somewhere.
Yes, no, I got it. I feel what you're saying there. So I'll use some case studies that I even shared within my book. Couple married for a number of years, having a lot of conflict, but they know they want to have a child and start a family. But there are issues there where they don't know why they haven't been able to conceive. Her gynecologist says she's fine. His urologist says he's fine. But there's something there that's just not allowing them to conceive. I usually get those couples. And as of today, I'll just say I have, which is a very much of a blessing, a 100% success rate helping couples conceive as of today. Mm. And that can change at any time. I'm just happy that our creator works through me to help couples achieve that dream. And so there's no reason why this couple shouldn't conceive. When they come into my office and I'm chatting with them, there's resentment there. There's anger and there's unresolved forgiveness because she belittles him and uses nasty words and things of that sort, and he can't forgive that. And so there's that, and physically there's nothing wrong with them, but baby won't lay in the house of that womb until that is resolved. That wall has to be obliterated, and that's an emotional wall. And so that's where I work with my patients. And then, of course, a month later, they got pregnant, which was great. Wonderful, beautiful, it was great.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yes, beautiful thing. Meanwhile, they were trying all types of other things. And, so that's where I must say that not all naturopathic doctors do take that approach. I am a spiritual woman as well. And so I bring in all of that. I use my intuitive nature, which I must admit that is something that I was aware of when I was young. And so I have to bring that into my practice with my patients. I see that there has to be something that needs to be destroyed that's blocking them from baby coming to be in their world. And so that's what I would say. That's some of that trauma that you were talking about that some people come across. You have, for example, let's say karma debts, and but your children chose you to come through. Even though some marriages may end, that child needed to be born. They chose you to be their parents. And so that was fulfilled. And I don't believe, I know that you two are happily married and such and so on, but as Esther Perel also says, people in the Western world are going to have 2 to 3 long-term relationships in their lives. And some will have them with the same person. So after about 15 years, mm-hmm. it's important to say if things are broken up, and breaking apart and falling apart to say, our first marriage is over. Are we ready to have another one together? Because the same terms, the same thought processes, the people that we were when we got married in the beginning are not the same people we are now. We need to reevaluate ourselves. And so it doesn't always have to be a destruction of the two. Although I don't feel that a marriage of 15 years, let's say, that then ends in divorce, is really something that was a tragedy. If it was good when those 15 years were there, it was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Chapter is now done and it's time to move to another. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes you can have it with the same person, but that first marriage may be over. Do you want to have another one together?
Right.
Well, it's and children feel that. The children are very alert and they feel that at every age.
So I was thinking about, okay, why wouldn't somebody go see someone like you, right? So I can give a short journey, right? Real quickly. Like, I had issues with my stomach because I was an emotional eater, right? And so I had acid reflux, so I didn't sleep well. Uh-huh. So I started taking Nexium and every other thing under the sun, spending probably, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 bucks a month at least, right? And then a friend of mine was talking about apple cider vinegar, right? Uh-huh. And so, I don't know, for 2 years, I didn't do anything. I just kept going the other route. And so I finally did it. I haven't touched Nexium in like 6 months, right? And it's kind of like, but it's that process of like, you know, just, I don't know why we just won't break the mold. And, you know, it's like, you know, why can't you just say, try it, see if it works. And if it works, move on, you know? But I mean, just to give you some insight in like how, a stubborn, guy would think, right?
Yeah. It's the knowledge. And really, much of the time, sadly, the people that tend to come to naturopathic doctors, or at least to myself, have already tried the other routes and are fed up and sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. They try what the norm is and are finally really opening up their minds to going out of the norm. I understand you're better, but I want to go back in time with you for a second.
I knew you were going to have something.
Can we get a two for one? Because I'm on Nexium as well. So okay. We could just.
Oh, we're going to obliterate Nexium from your livers. Please allow me to help you guys.
Yeah.
Believe me, your livers are going to appreciate it.
I've been on it for 20 plus years, so I'm ready.
Oh, I will help you. I'm here to help. Okay. So, Darren, when did your acid reflux begin? When was the first time you ever felt discomfort there?
1994.
Okay. Describe your symptoms.
My symptoms? Basically I would almost get like I would vomit, if I'm honest.
Okay.
You know, if I ate something my body didn't like, my body told me.
1994 was the very first time you ever felt those challenges?
Correct. That's the first time I can remember, yeah.
Before that, what was going on in your world? What was happening in your circle that made you feel apathy? Oh, I don't care. That was the point. That was the use. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. It's a shrugging off of you.
Oh, so this is when I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already had a bout with shingles.
Mm-hmm.
From a really tough first year of teaching. And my second year of teaching was, I actually tried to quit and the person talked me back into it because she felt like I would do well in that, role. So I fought through it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where it began. Holistic medicine teaches us that apathy is the thought emotion that affects the spleen. And what many don't know is that the spleen is the center of your digestive system.
The spleen?
Yes. That is Chinese medicine. So that's well over 5,000 years old. So who would argue it, right?
Right.
But it's apathy. And I literally want you to visualize it's this. I don't care. What's the point? What's the use? I don't feel like it. I don't want to. And you were pushing yourself off and putting other people and everything else first.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what turned it on. So although you're doing your apple cider vinegar and that's helping you and such, please take some time for yourself, if I may recommend something. Go back in time and really make peace with that. The fact that you were putting yourself second, not putting yourself first when you needed to. And let's be sure that you are most definitely doing that now, because the last thing we want is that you forget to take your apple cider vinegar for a month and it comes back. My goal is to help my patients overcome their suffering. Your symptoms are not supposed to come back.
Mm, interesting. Yeah, it's a different, before we talked, I was thinking more along the lines of, I think in my mind, I was thinking more of nutritionist. And I think because in our world, you say people market that so well, right? And so we think if we have some kind of physical challenge, we need to talk to somebody about food, and I think that's why programs like Noom are doing well, because it's about food and behavior, but it's still about food. And what I'm hearing you say, I love the way you go right to the root. And that's actually why we're called Sound Foundations, because it's about having a sound foundation before you build upon it. So what a great lesson,
But think of I look at it, because I'm the non-education, more the parent side of this relationship, and Darren brings his education background, but I look at it my older guy, we're dealing with anxiety and gets very upset with school and that kind of stuff, and I'd like to tie those things together to what's going on, and we talk about all the time with learning ears, it's the auditory side of it, often will, once you train that, the anxiety starts to go away because they're becoming a better learner.
So I mean, ultimately you like to kind of go right to kind of what's the challenge area, and then you've got all these different tools. Right? Yeah. Is that how you think? I mean, I noticed on your website, you talk about echinacea, you talk about probiotics and all of these different things you can do, but that's more along the lines of after you know what you're addressing, right?
Correct. Yes. So I need that help also from the patient. You're absolutely right. I always say, leave your body to me. That's my job, to know what I need to feed this body, what we need to incorporate, what lifestyle changes, what things need to be addressed, so that physically I focus on that aspect, but I need your help with the emotional, whether it's forgiving someone that sexually assaulted you, to forgiving yourself for making wrong decisions in life, knowing that we're here to learn lessons and we're just spirits in this physical body here to learn. I have to address all of those things, and that's where they really are able to overcome their issue.
So we've done phase one of parents like us, let's get to the root of why we need Nexium, or what our stomach issues are, or whatever, the parent is
why up we against. Don't need Nexium.
No, we don't need Nexium. Yes. And that's kind of going to be a second conversation we're going to have offline. but let's talk about the kids for the second part, and I know you have an event coming up, so let's talk, when you see children and kind of, let's stay in that age group of what we have, the 4 to kind of 11, how are you helping them, what do you see there?
I am working with autistic children that are now at the top of their class, that are talking, saying, mommy, asking for this, asking for food, asking to go to, be private when they're going to the bathroom, closing the door, getting dressed on their own. That's amazing. I work with children, everything from challenges with diabetes to obesity to skin challenges to girls that are having severe issues with the reproductive system, children who are overly sexual to those that are also very insecure and having emotional challenges, just health in general. Let's help balance. I work with imbalances. That's what everything. So maybe from the day I help them fall in the womb and on.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's a good lead in. I mean, when you talk about autistic children, a lot of times in my auditory world, there's a lot of hypersensitivity there. Mm. And so research came out that magnesium or deficiency in magnesium was correlated to hypersensitivity. Now, that was probably 10 years ago. Has that research been, you know, elaborated upon? What have you seen in your field regarding magnesium?
I've not looked at, for example, research, but just in general, what I can tell you about magnesium is that anything that's going to nourish and help relax the nervous system is going to help, and also is going to help with elimination. I cannot tell you the amount of my little children out there that I've had to treat with severe constipation. Or, and I know that you guys are not these types of teachers, they don't let them go to the bathroom when they were in school. They weren't being let to go to the bathroom as much. And so that in itself causes undue stress internally for that child, and where they're just, they can't sit still, or they can't, and many people don't take those things into account. So absolutely, the magnesium is going to help with anything that has to do with relaxing the nervous system like that. Those types of nutrients, I love to bring herbal therapies as well. Combining things like that with a multi that has, let's say, magnesium in it. But after, believe it or not, I cleanse the child. And some people are surprised when they hear that. What, children need to be detoxified and cleansed? Oh yeah, they eat candy. Oh yes, they eat all types of foods when even mom and dad are not looking, and they get a dollar in their pocket and they're running to the store to buy something unhealthy. So most definitely, those are types of nutrients that I bring in. But I love the idea of thing.
No, so I mean, I think the difference between you and a lot of others is it's an emotional cleansing, and then a physical cleansing, and then a right?
Yes, absolutely. And a child that comes to me with bedwetting, some fear was instilled in that child, some unresolved forgiveness was going on. And so I have to get to the root causes there as well. It's just another example.
Sounds like you can get pretty busy. I mean, are you by yourself, or are you a sole practitioner, or?
I am a sole practitioner.
You are. Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the event, though, that you have coming up at the beginning of August.
All right. Yeah. So August 7th, I will hold an epic children's health workshop online. And that way, parents are going to find that they'll be in a safe space where they can feel empowered to be able to really, truly think that they can really help their children overcome their issues. And we're going to talk about different aspects. I want to really hear what a lot of these parents are going to share in their workshops and what issues they're dealing with, and maybe share their frustrations about how maybe those other approaches they've already tried are not really helping their child receive that optimum epic health that they deserve. So that's what I'm there for, to kind of introduce myself, introduce the approaches, give them options of what they can do, and then maybe the last 20 minutes or so have it be just question and answer, so that we can delve deeper into that. And I really want to create an epic children's health community of parents where they can also share their stories and frustrations, and then can all try to help them overcome those issues together.
That sounds fantastic. Is it more of a symposium, or is it you kind of leading like a webinar kind of approach?
It'll be me leading. It would be like a webinar. I'm not too much on doing. I'm an international speaker, and the PowerPoints, 20 years of it, have kind of PowerPointed me out. So I rather this. I love this, where, you know, they see me, I see you. They'll be able to talk. So I'll do maybe the first 30 minutes of just sharing information of just case after cases, maybe of just, you know, other types of the top, let's say 10 topics of health that I've had to work with in the past 25 years of practice, and then have them share with me what their concerns are, so that I can then be more unique as far as the approach that each one of them needs. Because not everyone is the same. Again, it's only one, what is it? What,
not one, size cookie fits one.
One size fits
one. Size fits one.
We're going to have to give Erica credit for that one.
Exactly. I mean, but I want it to be, yeah, but I want it to be like a community as well. So I'm starting with 30, which will be, I guess, maybe 15 couples or just 30 people in general on that to start with. And they can find it on Eventbrite at epicchildrenshealth.eventbrite.com.
We'll have that in the show notes as well, and we'll share that with everybody listening.
Okay.
That's fantastic. I just want to touch on one last thing.
Yes.
This is kind of a precursor because I think this is going to end up in a whole other show. But the idea of attention versus anxiety. Is it an attention issue versus is it an anxiety issue? And we're always talking about if a parent chooses one path versus the other, you can go in two totally different extremes. How do you approach the attention versus the anxiety scenario? And how do you dig deeper to try to figure out how, is it attention or is it anxiety? And when I say attention, is it attention deficit, more of the hyperactivity versus the anxiety piece?
Mm-hmm.
I know you're seeing cases.
I've written an article, and you'll find that on my website. I wrote an article on ADD, ADHD, and learning disabilities, and also share their case studies of children that I've helped to overcome those issues as well. And I must say that I don't normally group anxiety with an attention problem. I usually tend to group anxiety with panic attacks and making sure that the parents understand the difference between those two.
Mm-hmm.
But with the, you're mentioning now anxiety and, for example, the attention, I don't normally see those two very much as being an issue in the cases that I've treated. Where there is an attention problem, I haven't noticed too much anxiety in the child per se, but just the fact of, more than anything, frustration of not being able to get this or really understand that and such. I group the anxiety more towards something different, where I know very much that foods also are a big contributor to that. And again, I have to get down to the root cause of things. Is the attention issue something that came about after a certain vaccine? When did mom or dad notice that the child shifted? So I do have to, again, go also back in time to find out what that initial light switch moment was. That's where I can be successful. I need to know where it started, where it all began. But in helping children overcome their ADD, ADHD, yes, there's a definite focus on the nervous system. I do love herbal therapies better than just vitamins and minerals, because I find that they're so much something that people need to understand is food. Herbs and roots are food, and so the little bodies can assimilate it very easily. Even if I'm telling a parent that, you know, they have to open it up in applesauce and the child will take it that way, or as of the age of 3, I teach them how to swallow their herbal capsules in the office from the age of 3, and they do it very easily. Oh yes, very easily. They do it very easily. So I need to know right there in the consult, okay, am I going to be able to give the child capsules or liquid and such? And so easy, but applesauce is a good administrator, honey and so on. But in the anxiety aspect and panic attacks with kids, that is a huge focus with me as far as heart muscle, fire element. I know I'm talking a little bit of Chinese medicine there, but really that is what I focus on. Meanwhile, with the ADD, ADHD, I have to really focus on neurotransmitter health, cognitive function.
Yeah, and that's kind of a little bit what I was talking about. If you go this route, it's this. If you go this route, it's that. And, you know, and I mean, because you're very diagnostic in your approach, you can help them choose which path to go down. And that's like, I was originally thinking we were going to ask you for some pragmatic tips, like, you know, what should we have in our house? But it seems to me that that's not really the approach. The approach is more about having a consult with you, discussing their tailored needs, and then deciding, okay, for your situation, your story, this is what you should do. Is that my correctly?
Yes, agreed. And I mean, it comes down to just about everything I have to focus on also when it comes to that child. It could be that there's also certain negative energies that shouldn't even be in the bedroom. Like the child's not sleeping. Okay, you have a what, is there water in the bedroom? Yes, the fish tank is in there. That needs to come out. People don't take that into account, that that's a negative energy that causes unrest. So it's little things like that. You know, we're energy. If you walk on a carpet with socks on and you touch a metal doorknob, you're going to get a shock. So that's the best way that I explain to them. Oh, yeah. Right.
Our energy.
There you go. So it's little things like that I have to just take into account every time. He sleeps okay in my bed, but he can't sleep in his bedroom. Let's see why the problem is happening, you know. So it's, I do have to focus on all of that. It's a lot.
It's fantastic. So the, so with the webinar coming up on August 7th, I mean, I won't call it a webinar.
Nope. Epic.
Online workshop.
Online workshop. Yep. And yep. You have a website as well. Correct?
Yes, drjulissa.com, and that's drjulissa.com, and my herbs and supplements website, which is drjulissa.mynsp.com, M-Y-N-S-P.com.
Now, in the time we're living in, COVID and all this, I heard you mention your office, but I do see on your website, excuse me, that you'll meet with folks virtually as well, correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I do Zoom telemed consults, phone consults as well. So that definitely is an option. And yes, I am still seeing patients in the office. My home office is in New York City. I'm two blocks from the Empire State Building on Park Avenue between 33rd and 32nd Street. And yes, I'm seeing patients. New Jersey, Boston, Massachusetts. But I work in 32 different states as well. So but I only travel out if I have minimum 5 to 10 patients located in that office. I travel out to those offices. So I'm in major cities in about 30 states.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, Dr. Julissa, we thank you very much. We'll absolutely, you know, include all those links in the show notes for folks that are listening. And I say this a lot, but I don't think this is the last time we're going to have you on. I definitely say it won't be the last time we speak. So, but yeah. Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
We'll definitely see you August 7th.
Yes.
Absolutely. It was an honor. Blessing. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. But
thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Sound Foundations for Parenting podcast with your hosts, Darren and Brian. Find them on social media at Sound Foundations for Parenting. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on the Sound Foundations for Parenting podcast.